Would you open your Bible, please, to the book of 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 1. We're going to be there in a moment. You know, I've tried to think, how did I get into this sermon? And I thought, probably the wisest, smartest thing I could do would be to bring Dottie up here. You come. I'm going to have her to start my sermon. And now, if she does with me like she did with John that interview, she may preach the whole thing. Come right up, my dear one. Thank you so much. Come right on here. And, you know, I do, because really, this field's not really all about me, I hope. I want to be about Jesus. It's about you, us as a church. But, you know, Dottie's been with me the whole journey of the way. And I felt this morning that before I launch into what I'm going to do, that she just would add to the service by sharing whatever you feel led to share.
Oh, thank you very much. He's given me the pulpit and the microphone. And I knew him before he was a preacher. So go sit down. Teasing, come back. Oh, my goodness. Do you know, when we married 55 years ago, of course, he was not a preacher then, but we adopted this verse that says, "Magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together." Yeah. And that's a verse I think is good for any Christian, because that's what we all want to do, magnify the Lord. Our church does that. We magnify the Lord, and we exalt his name together. And that's one reason I love this church among many. But have I told you lately just how much I love every one of you? You are so wonderful. You're our family. And we thank God, first of all, that he led us here 30 years ago. And I want to thank you for the support and the love and the encouragement that you have given to Charles and John and Joel and Jody and Charlie Joe and Joel Jr. and myself. You are a wonderful, wonderful group. And you know, when one of us hurts, we all hurt. That's the way it's supposed to be. And when one of us rejoices, we all rejoice. And to be able to sit out here with you and sing these praise verses, giving praise and honor to the Lord, it's almost more than I can do, because I'm just a teardrop waiting to fall anyway. And when I hear all this music and we start praising God, and I thank him for the time that we have now together, for however long the Lord leaves all of us here. But my prayer is, as long as this church sits on the corner of Fairmont and Red Bluff, that it will always be a church that when people drive down the street, they will feel a drawing to this church, and it will be the Holy Spirit of God. And as long as the Holy Spirit of God is always the main thing here, then it's going to be wonderful. So there'll never be another gathering like this. We'll gather, but there might not be all the same people, be more people. But one day, we will gather at the feet of Jesus. And that is what is so wonderful. I love you and thank you for all that you have done for us. I'm done.
Can I get up now?
Face me. I mean, really.
Well, I just do what I'm told. That's how you stay married 55 years. You just do what you're told. Oh, that's right. This is not a marriage conference. This is a church service anniversary. And thank you, Dot. You did it just absolutely perfectly. You know, 30 years together, one pastor in one church is an experience that not very many pastors in churches really ever have. As I was thinking about that, I thought, as true as that is, in the Houston area, there are some exceptions. Actually, there are a good number of pastors in churches that have been together 30 years and even longer. I think, for example, of John Morgan over at Sagemont. Brother John was pastor there. He just recently retired, 53 years. Ed Young, Second Baptist Houston, he is still the pastor. He's been there 41 years. Ron Lyles at South Main, he has been there and still is there, 38 years. L.D. Morgan was pastor at this church for 33 years. John Bassanio was pastor of First Baptist Church Houston 30 years. And as I think about that, my 30 years really makes me kind of the new kid on the block in long-term pastors. But I'm in the club, and you're in the club with me, and I thank the Lord for that. Now, you know, have you ever thought about, you probably never have, who would but a preacher, but like what does a pastor do? I watched that children's video. That one young man thinks that we pastors deliver pizza. I watched that. My grandson said, and I quote, "I don't have a clue." That's my own grandson. And then the others were like, what does a pastor do? Well, I heard a pastor a long time ago say this, that being a pastor is like nailing jello to a tree. It keeps falling to the ground. And you know there's a lot of truth in that because, you know, to my knowledge, I'm the only senior pastor in the room. Maybe there's some retired pastors here. There are other ministers in the room. But, you know, a pastor, what does a pastor do? Well, it's kind of like the jello falling to the ground. Like, something's not right over here, so you try to get it right and fix it. And while you're doing that, then something's gets messed up over here, and so you leave that alone. You go over here and you work on this little bit, and then some group over here, they're not happy about something, but this other group over here is happy, so you try to get this group happy, and then this group's an unhappy, and so, you know, that pastor that talked about the jello falling on the ground, that is much what a pastor does. But having thought about that, I thought to myself, as I thought about this day, and John is right, I only learned about this day a very few weeks ago, and I've never thought of myself as being a control person. I just want to know what's going on. I have a saying amongst the staff. They've heard me say this so many times, if you want me with you on the landing, let me be with you on the takeoff. You know, if you'll get me with you on the takeoff, when you crash, I'll be right there crashing with you. But if I'm not with you on the takeoff and you crash, may God help you. I'm just going to watch you do whatever you do. But I thought, like, you know, what do I say to the church on my 30th anniversary Sunday? And I began to think about that. And then I thought, you know, I have so much I want to say. 30 years in one church, in really now two locations, but still the same church. Like, I have so much to say. Time won't permit really me to say everything I want to say. But actually, I can kind of boil it down really to two words. And these are the two words that I want you to remember this morning. Those two words are, thank you. And you have a bulletin. I wish you'd write that down, because in just a very few minutes, I'll be at the end of my message and I'll be right back to those very same two words. That is in my heart this morning. That is in Dottie's heart. That is in my whole family's heart. What do we say to our church? Well, you know, it seems like not much, but I don't know anything better than just simply saying thank you. And first of all, I want this morning, on my 30th anniversary Sunday, more than anything else, I want to say thank you to God. Thank you to God this morning. Thank you to God, first of all, that God called me into the ministry. And in the book of 1 Timothy, you have your Bible open. In chapter number 1, this is exactly what the Apostle Paul said in his letter to his son in the ministry, Timothy. In 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12, he said, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has enabled me, because he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. What Paul is saying is what I understand. See, I did not put myself in the ministry. When Dottie and I married, I not only was not a minister, I was in the business world, had never even thought about being a minister. Like, the church did not put me in the ministry. The denomination did not put me in the ministry. My mother didn't put me in the ministry. No, God puts people into the ministry. It is the mystery of God. We call it the call of God. It's what sustains you in the ministry. Every new minister that we bring to this church, before we ever even think about bringing them to this church, I want to hear their conviction that God has called them into the ministry. Because your call is what keeps you going when you're going through hard times. And I thank God so much for that. I love what the Apostle Paul said when he was writing to the Christians in Corinth. He said a very interesting thing in his letter. He says, God calls those who are weak and lowly, not those who are high and strong and mighty. How true it is. And he goes on to say the reason God does that. In other words, God just calls ordinary people. So when he does supernatural things, people won't say, all this happened because of my brain or my this or my anything. God is the God of the increase. When Jesus called his disciples, he called ordinary men. He called fishermen, not theologians, not rabbis, not the intellectual group. No, he just called ordinary men. And what he did in their lives, to their lives, and through their lives, it was not because of who they were. It was because of who he was as he lived and worked in and through them in a marvelous, marvelous way. And then I want to thank God this morning that he called me in the ministry. But I want to thank God this morning gladly that God led me to be the pastor of the First Baptist Church in Pasadena, Texas. Now, Bobby and I, we could have a long conversation about that. The first time I ever heard from Bobby Mills, actually called my home first and talked to Dottie. I was away in a revival in Mineral Wells, Texas. And I was in a motel room one night after the service, and this phone rang in my room, and I answered it. It was this voice. I'd never heard it before. He said, I'm Bobby Mills from Pasadena, Texas. And he said, we feel that God is leading us to talk to you about maybe you coming to be pastor of our church. And that journey lasted a long time. And I was as sincere in that as I knew how to be. And they were likewise sincere. And they were patient because I couldn't, you know, what they said was, we feel God leading you to come be our pastor. But what I needed God to tell me that. I couldn't come here as pastor because they told me what they felt. They were right. Maybe the timing wasn't right at the moment for me to come. Maybe I'm a slow learner. But the point I make is there did come that day, and he referred to it that Sunday. They showed up at church. And I won't have time to go into what happened to me on Thursday before that Sunday. But when I saw them in church that morning, because this thing with me, it had been dismissed and forgotten. I just thought, you know, this is not what God wants me to do. But it was what God wanted me to do. And I just simply say to you this morning, folks, other people can't be your Holy Spirit. Could I have an amen to that? But we wait on God. And he makes clear, God works on both ends. And I thank God this morning that he called me in the ministry, and I thank God that he led me to First Baptist Church. Number two, I want to say thank you this morning to the church, to this church, to our church. You know, it's what the Apostle Paul said. You're in 1 Timothy. Turn back a few pages to the little book of Philippians and look with me in chapter number 1. In Philippians chapter 1, look with me in verse number 3. This is exactly what Paul said. The church at Philippi, without any question, was probably his favorite church. He had a special place in his heart for this church. And he said, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, that is the church, always in every prayer of mine, making requests for you with all joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. That word fellowship, in some of your translations, it's really translated better, partnership. What he was saying to that church, I want to thank you for your partnership with me as he ministered there in Philippi. And what I'm saying to you is this morning, I'm thankful to you as a church. We have had and still have a 30-year partnership. Not many pastors ever have that experience. You know, the fact of the matter is, after seminary, I have only been pastor of three churches, and I'm still pastor of the third one. Before seminary, when I went back to college, university, to finish my university work, God was so good, and he gave us this little country church where we went and served. John was born in that church, and we were there about 2.5 years. And then, of course, that church and the three other churches that I have pastored after seminary, I've been blessed. They've all been good churches, and they've all been good churches to be the pastor. That's true. You say, well, isn't every church a good church to be pastor? No. No, no. I thank God many times he never sent me to some of those I know about. But because, you know, churches, well, that's a sermon for another time. But God's favor has blessed me to be in churches. But this morning, on this 30th anniversary, I just jotted down a few things, specific things that I am thankful to you as a church, and I say them from the bottom of my heart. First of all, I'm thankful for the positive people in this church who just love the church. And, you know, they loved the church the 2 years it had no pastor. They loved the church when Dr. Landrum was here. They loved the church when Dr. Robinson was here. They loved the church when Dr. Morgan was here. And I doubt anybody's here this morning that was here before Dr. Morgan was here. You say, where are they? They're dead. As John preached this morning, they finished, and God said, heaven for you. That'll be all of our case one day. But we have so many people like that. I'm thankful for the support of the people in the church for what we try to do in the church. 30 years of it, and it's just unbelievable when I think about it. I'm thankful for the encouragement that I've received down through these 30 years from so many people in so many different ways. And not only for me, but for all of our ministers and all of the staff at the church. I'm thankful to this church that this church provides well for every employee of this church. That's one reason God has blessed us to keep so many of our people. To my knowledge, there are, well, I get in trouble when I say that there are two definite employees of this church who have been here longer than I have. And then one quit and came back, and she had a child and came back. So if you counted, you know, her little time out with that, there's about three or four that have been here longer than I have, but all the others have come along the way. But many of them have been here so long. But I want you to know as a church, you are good to us, all of us. And we are indebted to you for that, and we are glad and thankful that you're so kind to us. I'm thankful to this church for the trust and leadership of the vision of the pastor of this church. I inherited that. And as best I know, I can't find much before L.D. Morgan was pastor. But I go all the way back to Dr. Morgan, talk to people who were here back in his years. I really believe that Dr. Morgan was one of the most creative, innovative persons. He did things back in his day that churches just weren't doing. For example, he led this church to start a retirement program for its employees. And it started in a very meager way, but it started and it grew and grew. Most churches today don't do that at all. And that's why last Sunday we had the Mission Dignity man here talking about how we're helping pastors, 60% of them, they're widows now that are living on just the bare little of life. Those old timers. See, ministers, when I went in the ministry, maybe I am near 100, but when I went in the ministry, ministers couldn't be in Social Security. Now that law changed, and today ministers have to be in Social Security. But many of the old ministers out there that are living on so little, they have zero Social Security. And that's that group, basically, that we're helping with Mission Dignity. They serve the little, small country churches that basically paid the preacher in food on Sunday from the garden and maybe a chicken or whatever. And now today, they're out there, 60% of them. They've gone be the Lord, and the widow's left. And so I'm saying I inherited that. I didn't start all these things. But this church, it does a great job. Now, I'm thankful for the trust of the leadership of this church. You know, not many pastors couldn't say that. It's like a fight every time you try to do something. We don't have a group of yes people. Trust me on that. But we have a group that's open to listen and think and pray and believe that God gives a vision from heaven to the pastor and he shares it with the people and you give them time and they'll if it's of the Lord, he'll speak to them just like he does the pastor. And that's how we've moved along in these 30 years. Now, I wrote this down and it's very true. Not one time in 30 years have I ever shared with a church a vision that I felt God had given me that the church did not support it. Folks, there wouldn't be many pastors able to say that today. I'm just standing here today and tell you there's never been one time. Now, I'm not saying 100% always agreed. Listen, folks, if we ever get 100% in the Baptist church to all agree on one thing, we know it's not right. No, but I am saying this, that I've never one time said, folks, this is what I believe God has put in my heart that we're to do. And given the people time to think it about and pray about it and get their information about it, not one time have I ever needed anything in my 30 years here that this church has not provided. So I'm saying to you this morning, folks, this is not just someday to be sweet. I'm sharing my heart with you this morning. Thank you. Says far more than those two words express it say. I am thankful to God that in His goodness, I have been so blessed. The First Baptist Church of the North City was a great church for me and my family. I will be indebted to them forever. The First Baptist Church, Sulphur Springs, there's nothing, if I could, I would not do for that church. They were good to us in our 9 years. We loved that church. And in the flesh, that was our struggle. We were so happy in that church that we didn't want to leave. And yet, we had to do what the Spirit said. But what we found was we came to First Baptist Pasadena, and we love it. Folks, look. We love this church so much, I think you know this. I'm being buried right over here at Grandview. And I bought a lot. I'm going to be watching you at all times from over in my lot. So I'll be nearby when, like John said this morning, when God's done, I'm dead. That's what he said. Well, I'm not done, I'm not dead. But when I am done and am dead, I'm going right over there. I'm going to see what this thing does. I'll be praying for you, but not from there, from up there. Could I have an amen to that? Now, let me tell you what else I'm thankful to God for this morning. I want to say thank you this morning to the staff and employees of this church. I could take a whole sermon time and never be able to communicate what I feel in my heart about that. I'll say this to you. This church is tremendously blessed by all the ministers and ministry assistants, the facilities people, the housekeeping people, the food services people. I mean, it is just unbelievable. We are a blessed church with many wonderful people working at this church. And I must say this morning, I get credit for so much. And I say this to the staff often. I get a lot of credit for a lot of things that others, they're the behind-the-scenes people that do it. And we are blessed. I just want us to thank the employees and the staff of this church. Now I come to the hard part of my sermon. I've been dreading this last part. I want to say thank you this morning to Dottie and to my family. And I would be amiss if I didn't do this. You know, when Dottie and I married, she worked for Delta Airlines, and I was in the business world. And We were married 3 years we were married in 1964. And when I proposed to her, I never dreamed she'd say okay. But be that as it may, 3 years later, everything changed. God made very clear that he was calling me into the ministry, which meant ultimately we were going to get out of what we're in the business world. We were going to sell our home. We were going to leave after we finished our university work, then we were going to leave every family member we had, everybody we knew on the earth, where we had both grown up in basically the same town, right next to each other, like Deer Park and Pasadena, just kind of hook on. And we were going to move to Texas. And Dottie, from day one, has encouraged me to do things. Had she not encouraged me to do them, I doubt I'd have ever done them. For example, when God called me to preach, I said, Dottie, now God's calling me to preach. We talked about it. And she said, well, now you've got to go to seminary. And to go to seminary, you've got to finish your college work, or they won't let you in the seminary back in those days. And I said, Dottie, you don't understand. God didn't call me to go to seminary. God called me not to go to the university. God called me to preach. I just want to go preach. And Dottie said something like this: if you don't get an education, nobody will ever come hear you preach. And she didn't say it with a good voice either. There's a side to her you don't know. Yeah, it's sweet, but she gets the message across. Dottie has gotten me through my education. She's been there all the way through everything that we have ever done. And then, when I moved here, this was the hardest part of all. If I had this over again, I'd do it different, but this is what I did. This church called me in December of 1989, and in January of 1990, I moved here. Now, Joel, our son, youngest son, he was a senior in high school. So he was going to graduate at the end of May. Well, I certainly wasn't going to move Joel from the high school where he had gone all the way through high school to come down here for 5 months. So Dottie and Joel stayed in Sulphur Springs. The man who bought our home there agreed that Dottie and Joel could stay in the home until June, and I would just pay him rent. So they didn't have to move out of our house. But I came down here. John and I packed up a big old U-Haul it truck, and we drove down here, and the church had rented one of these little townhouses behind Bayshore Hospital, and I brought enough furniture to live in that thing until they would move down here in June. In fact, we stayed in that till we finally got our home, which was another year plus. But be that as it may, but I'll never forget that first morning that I came to work. Now, that's always, many of you know that first day on the job's kind of a humbling feeling. You know, you've been somewhere a long time. I walk into the old location to go to my office. I walk in my office, go in my office, and in the center of the office from down where we were, there was a glass table right in the center of that office. And on that glass table, there was an artificial floral arrangement with a bloom. And then at the top of the floral arrangement, there was a little card, just like florists put on cards. And I walked over. I've never felt so alone in my life. And I looked at that card, and here's what that card said. Quote, "It is right. Love you, Dottie." And those little words, "It is right," those first 6 months, I would have no way of knowing how those words sustained me. Down here with no family, didn't know anybody, homesick to be back where I'd been and loved so much, but yet knowing I'm supposed to be here. But those little words, Dottie's words, blessed me. You see, Dottie, you've listened to me preach sermons all these years. Dottie's a living sermon, not only to this church, but far more to our family. We see her go through all kind of things. In this last year, She's preached her finest sermon of faith and courage. I've said to her as recently as this morning, I said, I could not myself have gone through what you went through. And she said back to me, you do what you have to. I guess she's right. You do what you have to. But I'm saying to you this morning, I just thank God that God gave me a wife that has encouraged me the best I can to do the best I can to do what God has called me to do. Wednesday, about noontime, I left my office to go get to my car. And I looked in the break room where many of the minister's sisters have lunch together every day. And I walked into the break room. They were all eating. And I said, well, girls, I'm going home for the afternoon to do something I've never done in my whole life and that I'll never do again in my whole life. It startled them. And one of them spoke up and said, well, what in the world are you going to do? I said, I'm going home to prepare my 30th anniversary sermon, put it together. I've been thinking about it. And I said, I've never done this before, and I'll never do it again. Now, here's the bottom line. I hope you remember the sermon I've preached this morning. It's been a little different, but it's been appropriate. But if you don't remember anything else about the sermon, I hope you remember this, those two words, thank you. From the bottom of my heart this morning, thank you, God, for calling me in the ministry. Thank you, God, for leading me to this church. And thank you, God, for being with us through these 30 years as we've been partners together in His work. Could I have an amen to that? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, oh dear God, I do have so much to be thankful for this morning. God, I thank you. You called me to be a preacher. God, if I could live 100 lives, if it would be your will, I'd want to be a preacher in all 100. I thank you for that. God, thank you for blessing me to be pastor of this dear church these 30 years. God, thank you for the good people. Many of them now have gone to be with you. Many others are still here. Many good new ones have come. God, thank you for the partnership that we have in ministry. God, thank you for the staff of the church that has helped me these years in so many ways. God, thank you for Dottie. Thank you for my family, God. They encourage me in so many ways. God, just thank you for these 30 years. In Jesus' name.